Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, depending upon whether you're listening to The Warrior Live or The Warrior In Demand. I am legendary sports radio icon, The Warrior, once again making another four-way into the sports talk radio film. It's not at a 1,000-watt radio station in Killeen, Texas, at KTM, actually out of Temple, Texas, 1400. And it's not at the 100,000-watt mega station in Austin, Texas, KJFK 98.9 on the FM dial. Anyway, it's back in the blog talk format. I've had opportunities to do this. I had a brief foray into it back in 2013 and 2014. I had the opportunity to meet a lot of people. In 2014, I was really enjoying what I was doing. I was an internet manager in an unnamed company back in Killeen, Texas, and that's where it all began to slide. I won't get into it because I've repatched some of those relationships, but I lost a job, and I lost a lot of confidence. I tried some other places, and then my father died. And this is just for the people who are wondering what happened to the Warrior and where he's been. You may have heard me from time to time on Sirius Satellite Radio or your local stations. I used to be on Mad Dog Radio quite a bit until 2014 when I caught Mad Dog stating some things about why African Americans weren't employed at that station. I did feel a little bit good because within 2 months after that, Stephen A. Smith was hired at Mad Dog Radio. So I feel like I broke a little bit of that barrier there. But it led me to a ban from that station, and then subsequently the next year my father died and it sent me into depression. And the only thing I had was the Golden State Warriors and the Oakland A's. That led to an argument when one of the guys on NBA radio, Frank Isola, not him because I love Frank, Mitch Lawrence had made some comments in reference to it's time for me to grow up. And this was just after my father had died and I was stating how much it meant to me for the Warriors to win. And I let him know what it was like. I tried to get at him. I tried to find out where he was. I posted some negative things, very immature on my part, but it led me to being banned there as well. I love the sport. I love talking about sports. I love being a part of sports. I love my brief time in the Western Professional Hockey League. Well, even though I was only there a year, year and a half, it led me to an opportunity for more opportunities. I went up to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I then took some time on KTM 1400, who was nice enough to let me back on in 2007, and then I've just been kind of playing at this ever since. But the reason why the Warrior's back is the same reason why I didn't come back before. I had opportunities. I had a chance after the Stampede folded to go to work for the El Paso Buzzards. I had a chance to work in Asheville in the Carolinas. I had that opportunity with the Jeff Brubaker. That didn't work out. It didn't come to fruition. I spoke to David Holt about going to Bloomington. A lot of talks, but at the end of the day, I want to admit something. The Warrior was afraid to go back. I was afraid of failure. At least in Central Texas, I had a fallback. The death of my father, the subsequent getting in a fight on the showroom floor with the salesman who had laid his hands on me, and instead of using words, I used my fist, and it didn't work out. Well, it didn't work out for him either. We both got fired. I may have won the fight, but it was a 2-year battle to get out of the funk that it set me in. Now I'm back. And I want to talk about something that's really affected me. My fear of failure and depression since the death of my father. There's a lot of things that I could have done, a lot of places that I could have been, a lot of ways that I could have reacted. I use Twitter as my own personal battlefield. Those of you who know me as Warrior Sports, I've gotten into a lot of fights. I always like to say I've been banned in more places than the Bible and more hated than Jesus. But I'm fighting back through this. I don't find the need to have to stick up for Donald Trump at every turn. I don't find the need anymore to attack those who don't have the same values that I have. I need to be a better person. And part of being a better person was coming back and doing this and doing this show and look at the positive things in life. Because I never was one of those guys who dwelled on the negative. Even when I was the most read internet columnist, hockey columnist in the history of the internet, while I was working for In the Crease magazine or ProHockeyNews.com, I always kind of was a little bit out there. I wasn't a shock jock, but I didn't shock anybody by anything I said. It's one thing to be honest, and it's another thing to be brutally honest. There's no need to be brutally honest. There's no need to say things just to irritate people. And while it's fun at some point, sometimes it leads to some hurt feelings. And one of my points is that when I was in the Western Pro, I never shied away from going into a building. I never shied away from being in the player's area. Because if I said something, I wanted to give that player a chance to defend himself, to come out and tell me what he thought of me. And we could talk it out. And we didn't, maybe not have parted friends, but at least we parted in a way that was less than adversarial. And I think we gained each other's respect by the way that we did things. Now, it's no secret that I've had several run-ins with talk show hosts, both at the local and the national level. But one of the things that I won't do on this show is I won't say something and attack somebody and then not be there to let that person defend himself. I'm going to do a lot of interviews. Today, my show is going to focus on the Western Conference of the National Basketball Association, mainly my love for the Golden State Warriors. We'll do some Oakland, but then I'm going to do some national stuff. We'll do some Raiders. We'll do some A's and some Giants as well. Well, we'll get into my newfound passion, and that's for MMA. And those of you who've listened to my shows in the past or have talked to me know that I love to go to these small venues. It's these venues where I can discover a young fighter like Anthony Berchek, who went on to the UFC. It's these venues that I can find a young Josh Emmett in his second professional fight and to be speaking about him now for almost 7 years. 7 years I've been speaking about Josh Emmett, and he makes his comeback. He's not undefeated in the UFC, but he should be. Lost a controversial split decision for his first loss and then was beaten by illegal knee to the head by little heathen Jeremy Stevens. These are the things that drive me in my passion when I see a guy like Josh, broken in orbital bones, coming back. Well, I'm coming back too. Didn't break a leg, but I did break my tib and my fib, my one-time rollerblading career, and fractured and dislocated both sides of my ankle. I was a busted person for a couple of years. 2015, fighting the depression, moving from job to job, unable to concentrate, even in the area of sports. So I'm back. I just want to let you know what happened to me. So hopefully I can not only, you know, I'm not going to make the world a better place, but maybe this show and getting back into talking to people about sports and focusing on the positive while not ignoring the negative, I can get back to being that legendary sports radio icon that I claim to be. I can get back to being that I am legendary sports radio icon, the Warrior, 64-time salesman of the month, 12-time salesman of the year, 11-times master certified, more rings than LeBron and Michael. I'm the straw that stirs the drink. You may try to stir it, but you can only stir it back. Today's the day, this is the place, and I'm the guy who walked the walk, talked the talk, and I don't want to hear any said, she said BS. Looking for somebody to move the needle? I am the needle. Don't fear the thunder, don't fear the lightning, for I am the storm. Maybe I can get back to that. Maybe I just don't have to say it. Maybe I can convince myself that's who I am. So I'm back. It's the last time we'll talk about the demons that have possessed the warrior. 9 years no alcohol. 15 years in non-smoking. 1983 since I smoked marijuana. It's hard. It's hard when the only people that I have to depend on are you. I appreciate those of you who have come into my life and helped me at a point when I didn't even know what I was going to do, whether I didn't care whether I lived or died, estranged from my family. I'm back. I am legendary sports radio icon, The Warrior. I have beat depression, and I'm back. And that's the last we'll ever talk about it. But if you want to know what happened to The Warrior, why The Warrior's The Warrior, what happened on his Twitter, how come he became so angry, it's because The Warrior was fighting, but he wasn't fighting an enemy that he could see. He was fighting the things that go on in my mind. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get into an interview with a good friend of mine, Daryl the Guru Johnson, out of 95.7. The game in San Francisco. We're going to look at the Golden State Warriors. We're going to look at their playoff chances. And then we'll talk to John Madani out of ESPN, the network, a good friend of mine out of Austin, Texas, who's now with the network, and who will look at the Rockets' chances. And then we'll open up the lines for your phone calls. And like I said, we're going to put this first segment behind us. But I wanted everybody to see that are here what happens and what goes on in the mind of the Warrior. I am legendary sports radio icon, The Warrior. I'm not all the way back, but I'm coming back. Let's take a minute.
That's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Pack a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass can be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimp.
Well, welcome back, as promised. Special guest, a longtime friend of mine, longtime friend of the program. Matter of fact, when he went on the air at 95.7 The Game, Daryl the Guru Johnson. I was his first caller. First of all, Daryl the Guru Johnson, let me welcome you inside the Warrior Zone as my first guest as I make the four-way back into the broadcast arena.
I appreciate the invite, Warrior.
Yes, I appreciate it. Quit acting like you're in studio and there's a delay. We're actually on the telephone. No, that's fine.
You can take it from the top, Warrior.
I understand that. I feel like you do sometimes when Steiny's having microphone problems and you've got to carry this top of the show. Hey, listen, Daryl, let's get right into it before we talk about your prowess and how you got on there at 95.7 The Game. Let's go right into it. Golden State Warriors, 50-23, only 6-4 over their last 10, 26-11 at their in their last season in Oracle Arena. Let's go to Saturday night and let's talk about something that I'm not a big fan of. And then we'll get into the Warriors and we'll look at more pleasant things. Let's talk about load management. Is load management giving you the night off so that you can guard your wife on her birthday while she's backing it up into you? Is that what load management is known as? Do the season no longer matter? Do the fans who bought their tickets Saturday to watch them get killed by Dallas, are they owed more by the franchise in their final season at Oracle?
You know, it's an interesting question, Warrior, and I've been on both sides of the fence on this one. I mean, this is an organization. You got coaches that, you know, their reputation's on the line. You got players, their contract status, what they're going to be is on the line. So at the end of the day, I ask you a question is, they owe it to their team to go out to players and give it their all. And the coaches, damn it, if you feel like Steph Curry's dragging or one of your players is dragging, go ahead and sit him out. That's your right. It's not breaking the law. But I will say there are fans that did borrow money, that make sacrifices to take little Johnny and Susan to the game, and they assume, see, Warrior, they assume that the star player is going to be there. And when they do sit out, you know, I do understand the disappointment from the fans' perspective. But what are we going to do? Because at the end of the day, Popovich is the creator of this. David Stern didn't stop him. And now Adam Silver hasn't stopped the players from doing what they do. And you want to talk about Saturday night and Steph Curry, Warrior? I've done a 180 on this. I mean, especially any Warrior player that's been on this journey, about to be 4-5, I understand fatigue. I understand you are getting ready to go in that dark place again and embrace on the playoffs. Steph needed the night off. I don't get why people are coming down his road. Who cares what he did, where he was at? The bottom line, basketball-wise, he needed a break, Warrior. It was unfortunate what happened against the Mavericks. To me, I'm shocked, still somewhat disappointed, because you got enough professionals and good players on that team to be able to beat the Mavericks, who to me are trying to tank on a Saturday night at home. But it's bigger than the Mavericks. The Warriors, for whatever reason, have not been, on point at Oracle in its last year of existence.
You know, you can blame the fans, as Klay Thompson started to, but it starts with you. If you're not hitting shots in the fourth quarter, if you're not showing up, and listen, I've called in sick to work before, but I haven't called in sick at work and got caught in a club, and I haven't got caught in a club after I called in sick, you know, where I'm tearing up the dance floor with my wife, my teammates, or my, as I would say in the military, guys that I go to war with are battling for me out on the arena. Nobody's paying $500 average a seat to watch the Warrior play. And listen, I'm going to say one more thing about the fans. And I think people's memories is you only remember the pleasant things. Do they not forget? And look, when they set the record for three and they ended up blowing that 3-1 lead against Cleveland 3 years ago. Yeah, let us not forget. Draymond got hurt, and so did Andrew Bogut. And Andrew Bogut's been hurt quite a much in his career. Matter of fact, when they signed him, instead of fitting him for a uniform for the playoffs, I thought they should have taken him down to Roose Atkins and gotten him fitted for a suit for the hard-to-fit men so he could have his typical playoff suit on the sidelines. Now, with Andrew Bogut coming back, do fans not forget how brittle that he is? I mean, the media is already rolling out the carpet like they just had the reincarnation of Wilt Chamberlain.
When you say brittle, he was okay at the parades, I should say. I mean, this is a guy that's not going to – you're not asking him to be Shaq. You're not asking him to be Luau. Since the Warriors, this dude is proven to you, and he got benched. You want to talk about why and what suit he was wearing? He got benched in the finals, and he didn't go off. You know why? Because he was a team player. He took one for the team. You talk about setting the tone, setting picks, and not being a guy that's worried about how many shots I'm going to get on a given night. We need more of those guys, and that's why the Warriors are who they are. And that's why the fans love Steph and Klay, because they've had teammates like Andrew Bogut who've done the dirty work, like a Draymond Green, and offensively don't demand 15 to 20 shots like a DeMarcus Cousins. I love Cousins, but I think you're being too harsh on Bogut. What more do you want from him, Warrior? He's coming in to play 10 to 12 minutes in crucial minutes, but at the end of the day, if he's playing more than that, you know what, Warrior? The Warriors got a problem. And right now, I don't see a problem. He's a good fit. Give Bob Myers and Lake of Credit, Warrior. Everywhere I went, the grocery store, the gym, everybody wanted to share with me. Robin Lopez. Like everybody knew he was getting bought out, and nobody in their right mind knew Andrew Bogut was available. And now, look, the dude's lost weight. He's in shape, Warrior.
You
got to give him his credit.
Yes, I do. It's the best. Listen, I'm glad they signed Bogut. Bogut can do things. I just thought that the Bay Area media went overboard in gushing about his return. We had the Kurt, what's the lady's name that does the sideline reportings with Fitz and
Karis Burke. Burke.
Yeah, Karen Burke does a great job. And when she signed him and she started talking and she was gushing about him talking to the players on the bench and Bell and what an example, I'm thinking to myself, did they just go out? Is this like Anwar, you know, Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat? They've brought together two great countries. All veteran players are going to be talking to somebody on the bench. Now, before I get into the positives, let's talk about the development of Bell. There's been some rumors that he has not been the same since you took him to task and embarrassed him by challenging him to a game of one-on-one earlier in the season.
The only way Jordan Bell could be embarrassed, Warrior, is if I were to beat him in the one-on-one. And if that does happen, me and Bell are cool. You know, we've talked. It'll have to be, you know, when the season's over. But he's got athleticism. And now, to his credit, Warrior, he's been taking the shot. When you're young like him, it's not about making them. I mean, it is, but you're going to establish yourself in the league. You're going to be around, hopefully. And the fact that I see him, and he did it last night, take jumpers, to me, that's growth. Then the more you take, we hone and focus in on you making them. Now, do I think he's a guy that could be Horace Grant and hit it from 15 to 20 feet? I don't know. You know, right now, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that bet, but I tell you what, the coaching staff, and from what I've seen, every time I come in that arena 2 to 3 hours earlier before a game, he's out there shooting that shot. So I like that. And, you know, it's a two-way street. The Warriors play a certain style, and you got to be able to meet a Warrior, be able to shoot. And right now, you know, that's not his forte. He's getting better at it, but I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not being a homer, the fact that he's taking more jump shots, I like it. Because when you talk about athleticism, the kid has it all. But what scares me is he's not the biggest guy. And he's not as big as Draymond Green, the guy that chops, you know, Joe Frazier, I call him, because he's in the paint going against bigger men, way wide, high wide, and he wins the majority of them. I don't know if Jordan Bell is a Draymond Green in the making. Because if that's the case, I think it could be a bumpy road. Now, you talk about Horace Grant, you know, a guy to bring energy but still be able to shoot. We'll see. But the clock's ticking, Warrior, on his development, because let's put the rat on the table. The Warriors bench this season has set him back, and that's why we're watching Curry, Clay, and KD, and Draymond log a lot of miles on the team. On their legs, and I think that's a problem now. That whatever you build, it goes away when the bench comes in, and then they got to exert all that energy just to get it back.
Daryl the Guru Johnson, 95.7 The Game, coming inside the Warrior Zone. And Daryl, if you could give me just a second of load management while I write down rat on the table. Thank you, Daryl. I appreciate that little bit of insight from you. Looking at the Warriors, so 50-23. Tied for Denver, one more game played, one more victory for that number one seed. Now, the players are acting as if it doesn't make that much of a difference. Only 6-4 over their last 10. We've heard you earlier speak about their record when Curry is not playing. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, and that's Kevin Durant. Some consider him at one time to be the second best player in the game behind LeBron James, maybe even the best player of the game, in the game. Has Kevin Durant had a hard time meshing with the team? I don't know what goes on in the locker room. And really, even though you're around it closer, nobody knows what goes on when that locker room door is closed. But Kevin Durant this year seems a little bit aloof. He's not as friendly. I mean, he's done some fan-friendly things. But is Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, have they squashed that, or is there still a problem in the locker room?
You know what? From my vantage point, and I'm not in the locker room, you know, like a Bonte Hill on an everyday basis, but I do see what goes on and how the two interact, and I think it is squash. But these are grown men. They got one common goal. You heard Draymond the other day say, if he go, he go. If he stay, he stay. But, you know, the task at hand is Operation 3-peat. And Kevin Durant, to me, is just misunderstood. And I think if you were to ask Kevin Durant, you know, hey, what's bothering you? He may say, what do you mean what's bothering me? It just, you know, he went off on Ethan Strom. He's went off on the media. But what I think he's overlooking Warrior, we're in a new era now. We're in, not to be redundant, we're in the social media era. People care more about off the court than on the court. And the fact that you got a contract, and as good as you are, and as great as you've been the last 2 years, on the biggest stage to get your first two NBA championships, people want to know what type of potato chips you eat, what type of soda you like, what you watch. That's what we care about now. Not me, but the masses. So this is a guy that has a tattoo of the greatest rapper alive, Tupac Shakur. And I always say to myself, Warrior, if Tupac Shakur can see how KD gets bothered by what I deem Daryl the Guru Johnson stuff that he shouldn't even sweat, I wonder what Tupac would say to him. Like, dude, Tupac always lets you know where he stood. And sometimes I feel like KD gets annoyed at the media, but he's missing the compliment in it all. The microphones are there. The people are asking you, Kevin, because you're great at what you do. You can single-handedly change the balance of power when you make your decision this offseason. Just embrace it. You don't owe anybody your address. You don't owe anybody your privacy. But you didn't do the Kyrie Irving thing, even though we know he was lying, at the beginning of the season to squash this and say, hey, I'll focus on the three-peat. Talk to me after, and I'll make a decision. So not to be long-winded, Warrior, I don't know if him and Green are good off the court, but on the court, I still see a brotherhood. I still feel the fraternity. So we'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, I just feel like Kevin Durant is missing the compliment in the media wanting to know, and they only want to know guys that are good, that are heading to the Hall of Fame, not stars, superstars. And that's what this man is, Kevin Durant. So if he heard this, I would just tell him, hey, look, man, it's nothing personal. You're not the first. You're not the last. All the greats have dealt with it. And I just feel like he's missing that side of it, and it's agitating him, Warrior.
I agree with you there, but I want to let the fans know that are listening, whether you're listening to the Warrior Live or the Warrior On Demand, Daryl the Guru Johnson, 95.7 game. Warriors pre- and post-game for the most part on Monday through Friday at 10 to 12. I think he misspoke when he said the greatest rapper alive. We're not breaking any stories. Tupac is no longer with us, and greatest rapper alive does have to be somebody else out of the Bay Area, and that would be Richie Rich, but that's a different story.
Shout out to Rich. I love you,
Warriors. But, as in the final moments of the show here, let's just say just in case we're a betting man and we say the Warriors win it and they end up with the Spurs in the first round. I don't see, if the Thunder's dropped down, I think the Thunder would be a tougher opponent for the Warriors, but I don't see the Spurs giving the Warriors a tough time in the first round. Now, as we get to that and we get to that series and say it started tomorrow and you looked at the Warriors' rotation, who's out right now? Who's out of the rotation?
Right now, I would say Jordan Bell's out of the rotation. And if you would have caught me 2 weeks ago, they call me Chicken Little because I'm always saying the sky is falling and I was worried about OKC and all these other teams. I'm not anymore, Warrior. But to answer your question, Jordan Bell's out of the rotation. It's not Kevon Looney. The Kerr will find a way to get him in. Jordan Bell's my answer. But to answer your question about the first-round opponent, if you even opposed it, I don't fear anybody in a seven-game series beating the Warriors 4 out of 7. It's just a reality. And maybe I'm overreacting to what I saw without Kevin Durant when the Warriors went in and slapped Russell Westbrook. His IQ and the team's IQ and their coach, Donovan, they don't scare me with the pedigree. And then Houston. Houston's the most dangerous, and I think they can't sleep unless they play the Warriors. But outside of that, my friend, I just don't see a team even beat the Warriors on a bad day 4 out of 7. And I think we are staring and we know subconsciously that the Warriors are about to three-peat. It's just plain and simple, Warrior. That's where I'm at. I don't trust any of these teams. Look at the Celtics. Do you trust Philly? What have they done? What equity do they have have in the playoffs. Yeah, they got their feet wet last year. But who's with Toronto? Are you kidding me? Come on. I just don't see a team beating the Warriors 4 out of 7 games. I just don't.
Appreciate it, Daryl. The Guru Johnson, 95.7 the game, looking at the Warriors and their playoff chances. We've touched on Kevin Durant. We touched on load management. I'm going to name a couple of players. Let's just roll it forward. Let's just say that the Warriors won it. I'm going to name three players or four players, and I want you to just answer by saying in and out, and we're talking about the 2019-2020 season. Sean Livingston.
Out. I think he's accomplished it all, especially if they win. You know, people talk about slippage or, you know, he's pacing himself. I just feel like he's had a great career. The fall off is not as drastic as everybody talks about. But just mentally, when you hear him talk, I feel like he's been to the mountaintop. He's been there a few times, may even be one more. I think he's gone. I think he retires. He follows David West.
And Andre Iguodala.
Well, Iggy's got one more year on that big contract he got from the Golden State Warriors, so he's not going anywhere. You know, people talk about Draymond. I'm one of them being the heart and soul. But you want to talk about heart and soul from a basketball standpoint and what transpires on the court, it's Andre Iguodala, and he'll be back for one more year.
Okay, here's one, and if you can answer this correctly, you'll be on every radio station from network to network for coast to coast like Milk and Toast, Kevin Durant.
You know what, Warrior? People think this guy is gone. Everybody seems to think it, and I'm going against conventional wisdom, and I'm saying he's staying. Now, I feel like if he does stay, there could be some requests, and we may not know it or not. But if Draymond Green, for some reason or another, is not on the Warriors next year, and Kevin Durant is, the question you posed to me earlier, my friend, would have been answered with an emphatic yes, that they still had some bad blood. So I'm going to say Kevin Durant remains a Warrior. Why would you want to go anywhere else? Basketball will never, ever be as easy as it is now. I could be wrong. You hold me to it. But I'm going to say KD stays in the Bay.
Okay, final question. Final question. What's harder, sitting in the Warrior zone with the Warrior for 20 minutes or stomaching a Golden State Warrior game when they have another guest who's going to perform at the Chase Center next season? Would you rather talk to the Warrior for 20 minutes or listen to Bob and Fitz having to withstand what's this guy, Raymond Ritter, putting somebody else in who's a non-basketball-related entity onto the game broadcast?
Well, you know, Warrior, I've learned, you know, I do have some business acumen to myself, so I'm going to say the latter. I love you to death. I'm having a great time. But I would sit through the, you know, the Bob and the guys, let's just call them the gang, and the gray Raymond Ritter. I'm just waiting for the 30 for 30 to come out about him and how well of a job he does. So I love you to death, Warrior, but I'm going to go with the latter.
Well, you know what?
That's
you...
my answer.
You definitely know how to wrap up an interview. It was a pleasure having you inside the Warrior Zone. I want to let Steiny know that you can carry a show by yourself and that he should give you more mic time. But I got to tell you something. I'm always critical of whoever. I always think I can do a better job or whatever. And it's just like that because guys think that they can play or coach better even though they're sitting at the house. I want to tell you how much I enjoy yours and Steiny's show at 95.7 The Game. And I'm going to tell you, guy, and not John Dickinson, who I think is immensely underrated, but on a national level, I don't think you guys, and we talk about Durant, are going to be able to hold on to Vonte Hill once the national media gets a hold of this guy's show, because he's without a doubt the most talented broadcaster to ever participate in Bay Area sports.
So you're going to say, and that's my guy, that's my brother. So you're not going to give me that. You're going to give that to somebody else that's not giving you their time?
Well, you know what? I'm going to give it to him just because
you... I don't know how I'm feeling about this interview. Had I known you were going to end... Hey, Vonte's my guy. I'm going to tell him you gave him kudos. But that should have been for me what you just did.
Well, you,
really, you know what? I love you to death. That should have been for me.
I understand that. And we're going to end... We're gonna,
and you wrap it up with a Vonte Hill... Hey, a love session. Wow. Wow, Warrior.
Well, I appreciate that. Next time you see Raymond Ritter, see if he'll get you on his podcast. The Warrior appreciates your time. It's always a pleasure, Guru. This interview is like 5 years in the making. I look forward to having you again when the Warrior gets back to Texas and gets back on national airwaves.
All right. Take it easy, baby.
Take care.
Everybody to the wild, wild west. A state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Pack a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass pimp be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimp.
Legendary sports radio icon, the Warrior, part of the Blog Talk Network, also part of Primetime in the Stables with Mark Mancini on our simulcasted show. As I promised you earlier in the show, I'm going to go out to the network ESPN, bring in a long time, I don't want to say a colleague, but a guy that I looked up to almost 20 years ago, 20-something years ago back in the Austin market, John Madani, ESPN. Welcome inside the Warrior Zone.
Warrior. That out.
You know, it's amazing. I followed you and another friend of mine, Dave Tepper, down in Houston, and now you're on with the network. Things just get bigger. I can remember listening to many ESPN broadcasts, and they announced the producer, executive producer, John Madani, and I'm like, wow, that guy has gotten huge.
Well, Dave Tepper is a very dear friend of mine. I know he's doing very well in the Denver market, and although somebody in my line of business typically does not root for teams, we root for good games, but we don't root for teams. But it wouldn't crush me if I end up getting a Denver Nuggets playoff assignment and I get a chance to check on them.
Yeah, and he's also going to be on the show later on in the program, and we will reference the fact that he brought you up. But let's get into it. We've got an important playoff game ramifications in the Western Conference. Before we get into the Rockets' chances overtaking Denver or Golden State, you've got a big game as part of the network coming up.
Yeah, ESPN Radio headed to Utah tomorrow, actually. The Lakers, of course, anytime LeBron plays, whether they're in or out of it. LeBron is a ratings draw, so he's always going to be. Factor in, and so our schedules are made way in advance, but we do have the Lakers at Utah, and for the Jazz, it's a very important game. Honestly, Warrior, for anybody not named the Golden State Warriors or the Denver Nuggets, each of the last 8-9 games, depending on how many you have left, are critical for seeding in the Western Conference. It's going to be a great finish.
Well, you mentioned LeBron, and one more thing before I get into the Rockets, but you mentioned LeBron and the fact it's a big game. It's a big game for ESPN Radio. Let me ask you a question. And the Warriors just did it on Saturday, and it really irritates me. What is your opinion of the term load management? And I mention that because LeBron was the first one to ever use it, simply saying, "Hey, I'm not going to work tonight."
I understand it. My personal opinion, Warrior, is this. I think that NBA players are the greatest athletes on earth. I can't imagine the torque that they put on their ankles, their knees, jumping, stopping, landing, starting, stopping, cutting. It's amazing to me, and I'm shocked that we don't see more MCLs, ACLs, sprained ankles, things like that. And to really appreciate what these guys do for 82 games, I wish, it would be my personal wish, that every fan of basketball gets a chance at a front row seat, like we've been privy to in past years, courtside, to actually hear the tugging and the pulling and see the scratches on these guys' shoulders. It's amazing the beating they take. So I'm not offended by guys taking time off for load management. I do think the NBA should step in and say, hey, if you want to do it, at least meet us halfway. If you're playing the second half of a back-to-back, you're playing Sunday night, Monday night, and you want to give your guy a breather on the Monday game. We understand that, and I think the fans would get it, and that's a good time to do it. So if that's going to be the policy and I'm a ticket holder, I'll check my schedule and just make sure before I commit to going to see a game and see my favorite player, let me make sure that I'm not game two of a back-to-back so I can, you know, plan accordingly. Buyer beware.
Well, you know what? Nobody's in danger of breaking AC Green's consecutive game record. But, hey, let's get on to the Houston Rockets, sitting right now at third place in the Western Conference. And I had mentioned the division, but nobody cares about divisions anymore. 47-27, 8-2 over the last 10. They've gained two games on Golden State. They sit back at 3.5 back, 4 in the loss column, and an additional only 4 games back of the Nuggets as well. Does this team have a chance to catch the Nuggets, or do they have a chance to even hold on to where they're at right now, only sitting a game ahead, tied in the loss column with 2 additional games and 2 victories over Portland?
I think that everybody currently seated 3 through 8. I'm not going to say 3 through 9 because I just don't think Sacramento can do it. I think the Western Conference is set. The only question now is whether the Spurs will be the 8 seed or whether they're going to be able to climb up as high as 5. I do think Houston is going to be the 3 or the 4. I don't think they can catch Denver at the 2, and I think it's just a function of scheduling. The Rockets do have some teams. Matter of fact, our last regular season broadcast on ESPN Radio will be Tuesday, April 9th, which is the Rockets at OKC. And I'll bet, sitting right here today, that game is 2 weeks away, I'll bet that game means something, even though it's right at the end of the regular season. That game could be critical for whether a team gets to host a first-round playoff series or they got to start on the road. So I don't know if anybody's got any advantage. I think at this point, and as we go back to your first question, the load management, I think all of these coaches are looking at their teams. They're going to tighten their rotations. They know that when the postseason hits, they're going to play 9 guys, 8, 9 guys, depending on, you know, what their philosophies are offensively and defensively. And that's what they're trying to do, is just tighten things up and get ready for the postseason. And if they have to start on the road, so be it. The most important thing is to get guys healthy.
You look at the health and you look at the general overall makeup of the in the age of the Houston Rockets. Chris Paul only playing 50 games so far this year. But when he went down, it seems like that's when it clicked in for James Harden. Harden averaging almost 37 points a game, tearing it up on the line as far as consecutive 30-point streaks. Let me ask you, in reference to load management, I mean, somebody like James Harden, somebody who sometimes when the team has got a huge lead in the fourth quarter, Harden's still playing because he's trying to get to that all-important 30 game and trying to continue his streak. Do you think that's going to make a difference in June?
It's not going to make a difference in June, but I don't think that he made a conscious effort to reach those numbers either, the streak. You got to remember just how banged up the Rockets were from the beginning of the season. In fact, they didn't have James Harden at the beginning of it. That's one of the reasons they got off to such a terrible start, and everybody thought, boy, the Rockets are done. I'm not sure. I don't have the number in front of me. I'm not sure exactly how many games this year that the Rockets have put. Well, they've played 74 games or something right now. I would love to see, of those 74 games, how many they played with a healthy James Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella. Because that's their triumvirate. That's what they're going to go to town with. That's what they want to win playoff games with. And remember, Clint Capella had to sit out, whatever it was, 4 or 5 weeks because he had hand surgery. I mean, it's amazing how hit and miss they've been. In fact, I don't have a vote, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are some people who think that Mike D'Antoni should be coach of the year if they finish with the 3rd seed in the West, so with all the injuries that they've had.
Much maligned coming into this season, and then you look at the injuries that they've had. I agree with you on D'Antoni. He's done an amazing job, and part of doing an amazing job sometimes is your general manager goes out and gets players that he thinks will fit within the system. Now, they've made some amazing moves. They pick up Austin Rivers, and a lot of people only thought of him as Doc Rivers' kid. He did a great job. You pick up guys off the street like Gerald Green, and then Kenneth Faried, who 3 or 4 years ago I thought was going to be one of the best power forward centers in the game. They've gelled well. They've done an outstanding job fitting in with the team. How much of that can you place on Mike D'Antoni, and let's face it, Chris Paul has to work these guys into the system. So how much of a better job has Chris Paul done this year than last year? And let's look at D'Antoni's influence on that.
Yeah, well, Mike D'Antoni runs his system, and he makes no apologies for it. And it really is amazing when you get a chance to visit with him because he, I mean, a quick story, because I've been doing this a little while now. We did a playoff series back when he was with Phoenix, and they had, do you remember a guard named Rajah Bell?
Yes, a former member of the, that was a former member of the Warriors and a guy who once got into it with Kobe Bryant.
Okay, so there was a playoff series. The details are fuzzy, but the part of my story that's relevant is not fuzzy. I can remember coming off a playoff game, and Rajah Bell went 0-for-10 on three-point shots. And the media couldn't wait to ask Mike D'Antoni during the shoot-around the next day. It's like, are you going to make any changes to your lineup? Are you going to? Is that going to limit Rajah's minutes coming off the bench? And he literally started to laugh and say, you guys just don't get it. I said, you know, he went 0-for-10. All 10 of those shots were good shots. They just didn't go in. We run our offense. Every NBA team runs its offense to get guys uncontested looks. And the pros are expected to make their shots. But guess what? Shots go in, shots don't go in. That's the game. But if you're taking good shots, you stay on the floor. Coach yanks your minutes when you start to take stupid shots or you start to play outside the system. Sure enough, the next night, Rajah Bell went something like 7-for-9 on threes or whatever. And, you know, there you go. There's the greatness of Mike D'Antoni. He knows what he's doing. He knows his system. And he's going to put his guys in position to win. I think what's funny about this team, and you mentioned the acquisitions, and I agree with you, that Daryl Morey brought in. It's funny what I think everybody on that Rockets roster has in common. They all got massive chips on their shoulder. James Harden, who was part of the trio in OKC, he's the odd man out. He gets traded. All right, he's got a chip on his shoulder. Oh, I'm not good enough? Okay, I'm the guy. I'm the odd man out. We'll see about that. Chris Paul, greatest current player never to go to the NBA Finals. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He knows about it. Clint Capella, who is this guy from overseas? He's skinny. He needs a sandwich. He can't play in this league. He's got a chip on his shoulder. The acquisitions they just brought in, Kenneth Faried, he's washed up. He can't play anymore. Austin Rivers, son, he's just Doc's son. He can't help to win a championship. Gerald Green, forget it. That was one of those guys that didn't go to college. He was straight from high school. It just kind of bounced around, but he'll come in. Now, he may go 0-for-6, but he might go 6-for-6 and win you a game. Everybody on that roster, it seems to me, has a chip on their shoulder, even down to, like, insignificant, you know, a guy like Daniel House, who they've had in the G League forever, who they're probably going to elevate for the playoff roster. They have, and Mike D'Antoni, who had Steve Nash is an MVP and has James Harden as an MVP but can't win an NBA championship. He's got a chip on his shoulder. So to me, the Houston Rockets are one of the more interesting teams to watch night in and night out. They certainly will be in the postseason.
You know, and we don't even talk about him and Shepherd. And let me talk to another guy that P.J. Tucker. You look at his stats and you wouldn't know it. This guy is a Golden State Warrior killer. Nobody can shoot the three like P.J. Tucker can shoot the three against the Warriors. He's a guy that comes in, works hard, as I like to call him, and one of them guys who brings their lunch pail to work. But how much of that work ethic do you think runs off on some of the younger players or somebody like Faried, who may have given up on their career, and then you see how hard P.J. Tucker works?
There's no question. And P.J. Tucker, I should have mentioned him probably front and center about chip on his shoulder. Here's a guy who had to go overseas for several years to prove his worth. And find his way back to get on NBA rosters. Now he's been in the league, whatever it is, 16 years or 15. I mean, he's such a great, great story. Matter of fact, he's got to be 30. He's got to be almost 35 years old now. He's the old man of the bunch, but he polices that locker room. He is their defensive toughness. I really thought they were going to miss Trevor Ariza, you know, immeasurably because of his reach, his length. He anticipates passing lanes. He's got a lot of grit and grind to his game, and he's a lot of their defensive identity, at least he was last year. I thought it was going to kill them to lose him. But P.J. Tucker, you can watch, and I promise you, you'll see it in the postseason. If there's a player on another team that's just feeling it, and they come down and they shoot, you know, they score 8-10 straight points for the other team, P.J. Tucker will go to Mike D'Antoni and say, I got him. And say, let somebody else beat us. I'm covering that guy. Whatever we're going to do, let's switch it up. And then P.J. takes that upon himself. He always has. It doesn't get written a lot by the media. It doesn't get reported a lot because P.J. doesn't seek attention. But he's the grimy guy on this Rockets roster now, and he has become their defensive identity.
Legendary sports radio icon, the Warrior Final Minutes with John Madani, ESPN, the network, talking a little bit about the Houston Rockets playoff chances. Now, in closing, Mike, I have to ask you, look at the Warriors, you see what the type of team that they have, you see their record without Curry. You see some of the problems that Durant has had at times, seeming almost aloof. Are the Warriors primed to be overtaken? And if they are to be overtaken this year in the Western Conference, are the Rockets the team to do it?
Well, if I look down the Western Conference standings in my mind's eye, I'm not driving, so let me close my eyes here. You got Denver, you got Houston, Portland, Oklahoma City, Utah, the Clippers, and the Spurs. The Spurs just put a whipping on the Warriors. But again, your question is, can anybody overtake them? That means you got to beat the Warriors four times. You know, anybody can beat the Warriors on any given night. We've seen it. They got trucked at home a couple of nights ago. They got embarrassed, and they responded very well. Beating them four times in seven games, the Rockets can certainly do it. Rockets fans will tell you they'd have done it last year if Chris Paul's hamstring hadn't given out. And the Denver Nuggets are sneaky good, and they're sneaky deep. I'm not sure that Portland has the depth. Oklahoma City, to me, is the scariest team because of their athleticism. There's no question they're the most athletic team in the NBA, especially when they bring Schroeder in off the bench and they just run. I mean, Adams with a rebound and they're off to the races. I mean, 2, 3, 4 seconds, they're down at the other end getting a layup, and they're scary. And they're going to put a lot of pressure on anybody to beat them four times. So I think Oklahoma City, actually, would be my pick to be the best shot, just because maybe the Warriors might have their guard down a little bit. You know, they're gonna take their best shot to Houston, but maybe Oklahoma City can catch them, especially if it's a first-round matchup, if Oklahoma City slips to the eight. But until I see somebody do it, Warrior, you know, Golden State, to beat them four times in seven games, there's a whole lot of guys that have to have an off night for you to get them, and that off night has to happen four times in seven games. But I just don't see it. I think the Warriors are still going to win the West.
John Madani, thank you very much for coming inside the Warriors. Oh, before I let you go, I got to ask you three things that require either A, a name, or B, an answer. And I'm going to start at the University of Texas. Shaka Smart, in or out?
In.
All right. James Harden, MVP or not?
MVP.
Golden State Warriors, back-to-back-to-back champions, are out?
I say three-time champions, and then Kevin Durant leaves.
I agree with you there. John Madani, thanks again for coming inside the Warrior Zone. It's always a pleasure. Normally, when I wanted to talk to you, I'd have to hold 30 or 40 minutes. Tonight, I was able to get a hold of you and get you on the air right away and didn't have to listen to, hey, we go out to Warrior in Killeen, Texas. Thanks again for coming inside the Warrior Zone. I know you've got some network stuff that you have to do, and we totally appreciate you coming in, and thanks again for being on the show.
My pleasure. Take care.
Hey, legendary sports radio icon, the Warrior. Always a pleasure to be back, and like I said, to be back on the air again after being off the air for so long. It's a definite pleasure to be back on the airwaves. So anyway, listen, we've had some great guests. I'd like to thank John Madani out of ESPN, the network, for coming on the show. I'd like to thank Daryl the Guru Johnson for coming on. We didn't get a chance to get to our interview with Dave Tepper. We'll get to that next week. But something big coming out this week on ESPN, too. As you all know, I'm a big fight fan, a huge fight fan. A big card coming up, a free fight card. The main event, Edwin Barboza and Justin Gaethje, that's going to be a great fight. David Brant and Jack Hermanson in the co-main event. But the bout I want you to watch is 13-2-0 Josh Emmett making his comeback after being injured, broken orbital bones, against Michael Johnson. That's going to be a great fight. I like Josh Emmett. He's from out of here in the Sacramento area. Fights out of Team Alpha Male. He's only got two losses. One by got his orbital bone broken by illegal knee, or after an illegal knee, by little heathen Jeremy Stevens. And then the other fight, a controversial split decision to Desmond Green, who fights Ross Pearson. Pearson at 21-15-0, Green at 21-8-0, a tainted victory against, and that's going to be in the prelims, a tainted victory approximately 2 years ago against Josh Emmett. So now my money's on Ross Pearson. I really would like to see Desmond Green get a chance to fight Josh Emmett again, just because Josh Emmett it beat him, and I thought it beat him rather soundly. But that's what happens when you let it go to the card. Anyway, legendary sports radio icon, the Warrior. We got less than 2 minutes left. I want to thank those of you that took the opportunity on Facebook to reach out to me. I'd like to say hello to all my gorgeous listeners from coast to coast, like milk and toast, be it north of the border, south of the border, are here in the United States. Absolutely beautiful, absolutely gorgeous audience. Appreciate all of you. Once again, legendary sports radio icon, the Warrior. Always a pleasure to get the opportunity to speak to you. We'll do this again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central Time. We'll probably do a baseball edition, and maybe I'll mix in some MMA. Once again, thanks for listening to legendary sports radio icon, the Warrior. All of the gods are across your path, and the silhouette hangs like a body bag. I'll enjoy.